I remember in seminary, I had a professor of Old Testament, and we asked him one day, what if, you know, it was that question, if you were stuck on a desert island, and you only had one of the books of the Bible to accompany you on the desert island, which book would you choose? And without even thinking about it, he said, well, the Psalms, of course. And we said, really? He said, yeah, the Psalms contain the Old Testament, and they also speak to us of Christ Jesus. The Psalms are the thing that holds it together. And every class he would read us a psalm, and we would find meaning in it, and it was so fascinating. So I was so excited about today, because this is where we are in our sermon study on Jesus in the Old Testament. We know that Jesus can be found in the books of Moses. We know that Jesus can be found in the prophets. We'll study those next week. We know that the scriptures point to him. We talked a lot about typology, which is kind of like an imprint, a type of Christ, even in the Old Testament. And so today we're exploring the Psalms and finding Jesus in the Psalms. And one thing I encourage you to do as you pray the Psalms, and as we're invited to dig deep into them, today, when you leave here, maybe after lunch, you can go to thebibleproject.com. It's really easy to remember, thebibleproject.com. You can Google it. They're easy to find. And look up Psalms. There's two videos on the Psalms, and they illustrate the Psalms in this way. And it's really beautiful to have. You'll get all this information that David wrote 73 of the Psalms. The majority of the Psalms. There's other authors, but it was written for the choir to sing, but it's not a hymn book in the same way that we would consider a hymn book. It's woven together in a way that reflects the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. Actually, when the people were in exile and they could not go to the temple, the Psalms functioned as a virtual temple for their prayer. And for ours as well. And today, if you leave here today and you don't get anything else from this sermon, I want you to have an invitation to pray the Psalms. Just know that the Psalms are there for you to pray. All of human emotion, whether it's lament, crying out to God, wondering if God's even there, we join the people of God in praying these honest prayers. And the Psalms of Lament, they begin this way, but they end with praise, knowing and trusting in God. Sometimes when we don't have words to pray. Have you ever had that experience where you just feel like you don't have words, you don't know what to say to God, and you begin with a lament of your heart? God, this is awful. What's going on right now is terrible. I'm just lifting that up to you. God, I don't even feel like praying. Here it is. That God knows and understands, because it's part of the whole story. The bigger picture, the Torah, the teachings, the Messiah, lament and praise, faith and hope. And each of the five books within the Psalms, you can tell that they're ending, that's the last part of that book because of the phrase right there at the end. Let's look at this. Here it is. This is what they go over in the Bible Project. And I wanted to kind of give a little plug. Let me step out for a second, give a little plug about the Bible study that's happening in August. On Wednesday evenings, I'm going to host a Bible study that's going to go for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, three or four years, maybe five or six years that I'm here. I got 52 lessons already through the Bible Project, and I'm so excited. Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 7:30, starting on August the 17th, we're going to have this Bible study called Reflections, and we're going to go through the Bible Project, and they're Bible scholars, and they teamed up with some animators, and so they animated every book in the Bible. It's fascinating stuff, and so we'll go back to the Psalms here, and each of the five books within the Psalms, it ends with this phrase. You know that it's ending even before they had verse numbers. And so let's say this together down there at the bottom. May the Lord God of Israel be blessed forever. Amen and amen. May the Lord God of Israel be blessed forever. Amen and amen. And if you're like me, you grew up knowing one psalm by heart, probably. You know more than one psalm by heart, but you know one psalm probably by heart, and that would be Psalm 23. And the writers of the New Testament knew that as well. And so you can see how different themes from the Psalms are woven in to the Gospels. If you're looking at a story in your Gospel like the feeding of the 5,000, for instance, in Mark, you get all these little hints and throwbacks. When Jesus landed and saw the crowd, this is in Mark chapter 6, he had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And then you get these little details. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. They ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. And so knowing what we know, what even the beginners know about the Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd. That's right here. They were sheep without a shepherd. So who is Jesus? Well, he's the good shepherd of the people. Yeah, and these little details like the green grass, he leads me to green pastures. He restoreth my soul. My cup runneth over. They all ate and were satisfied. You can find echoes of the Psalms all through the Gospels. I was, last night it was pretty cool. I was reading through the Psalms and looking for things like this, and I came upon Psalm 107, and I read this little section right here to my son Jonah. I have a Jonah too. I read it to Jonah, and he knew. He said, "Well, that's like." So I'm going to read it to you and see what you think. Some went out on the sea in ships. This is Psalm 107. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wit's end. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. And he guided them to their desired haven. Now, if you're versed in the Psalms and you know that as the people that Jesus would have talked to were, as the writers of the Gospels were, you can see in that, of course, even my 10-year-old son can see Jesus calming the storm in that psalm. It's beautiful. So the writers of the Gospels, so you can find, as you read through the Gospels, you can find echoes of the Psalms. And so you wonder then, is it legitimate, as the kids say these days, legit? Is it legit to look for Christ Jesus in the Psalms? And the answer would be absolutely. Jesus saw himself in the Psalms. And so did the writers of the New Testament. And so when you're looking in the Psalm, and it's fascinating, these things that happen 1,000 years or more before Jesus were born. I'm going to go through a few of them right now, how Jesus understood it. Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus knew that he would be rejected by the scribes and the Pharisees. He felt this rejection and knew it, and he could point to a verse like this, the stone which the builders rejected. He argued with the scribes and the Pharisees about David, and he claimed to be David's greater son. And ask them, who is it that is David's Lord? In Psalm 110, the Lord says to my Lord, I will make your enemies a footstool. You remember that. Jesus understood it in that way. And we move on. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will tell riddles of old. Here we are in Psalm 78, verse 2. Psalm 41, verse 9. He who ate my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Makes us think of Judas at the Last Supper. Jesus understands that and fulfills that. Now the next one. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You think of Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, where we shout Hosanna, and we find ourselves right here in the story. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus sees himself in that. And then on the cross, Psalm 22, verse 18, they divide my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing. Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then Psalm 31, verse 5, this is a prayer that we can pray every night as well, every morning. God, into your hands I commit, I entrust my spirit. Jesus came to fulfill the Psalms. He says that in Luke 24. He says, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now, I want to say this really carefully. I never really understood what fulfillment was about. And it kind of carries the idea that it's about predictions or prophecies coming true. But sometimes that's what it means, but sometimes it doesn't. And fulfillment, when we define it, it's really close to the English definition of to make full. When Jesus fulfilled something in the Psalms, he filled it full of new meaning in such a way that it highlighted what God has been doing all the time. Let me say that again. When Jesus fulfilled the Psalms and the Scripture and the works of Moses and Isaiah, the prophets, all of that, when he fulfilled that, what he did was he filled it full of new meaning that reflected what God was saying the whole time. So when we see something like Psalm 22, the humiliation and death of Jesus on the cross is what he saw. But he cried out in Aramaic so that all the people would know. Even if you didn't speak Hebrew, the Greek-speaking soldier at the foot of the cross would have understood. As he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He didn't have a psalm number to call out the whole psalm. He didn't be like, check the rest of Psalm 22. He couldn't say that. He just said the first line of the psalm, which was the custom where we would find the whole psalm. And in the psalm, Psalm 22, you get all these glimpses of what he was going through. But it ends as the pattern of lament psalms. It ends, they will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Do you think that David, 1,000 years before Christ, was thinking about Jesus on the cross when he wrote Psalm 22? I almost certainly not. Almost certainly not. What he was thinking about was his own experiences and how he was running from Saul and how he felt being rejected. And so Jesus and the writers of the New Testament saw Jesus completing this, filling it full of meaning in a whole new way. Filling it with new meaning. So what I wanted to end with is just kind of how to apply this for us, because I think we see Jesus fulfilling the Psalms, but we have a way of praying them and fulfilling them as well. When we see Jesus in the Psalms, when something in the Psalm, whether it's about salvation or about rising up or about our hope if something stirs in our hearts when we read the Psalms, then we've experienced Jesus in the Psalms because he's the Word of God. That message of meaning that's contained in the Psalms as we pray them, Jesus lives out and fulfills that meaning for us in a whole new way that reflects what God has been doing the whole time. So what my hope is for you is that you would pray the Psalms. And for me, I recommend, as I always do, I recommend this Bible that has the NIV and the Message translation, because the Message translation of these Psalms, and what you can do, you can't do this really in any other book of the Bible. You can't just open it right up. Yeah, and then you say, oh, that probably do it again. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths, and there is no foothold. It's so honest. I've come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I'm worn out calling for help. My throat's parched. My eyes fail. I'm looking for God. God, you know me. It's Israel's strong God. He gives power and might to his people. O you, his people, bless God. It's a dangerous thing to just turn up front of people and put your finger down and see if it sticks. But the Psalms are like that because they're our prayer book that we can find all kinds of meaning in. And if we find Christ in the Psalms, it's because he is the Word of God that is from the beginning. Well, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this message. We thank you that when we don't have words to pray, God, that you intercede with sighs that are deeper. God, we thank you that we have a prayer book, a song book in the middle of our Bibles that we can know and trust point to you. God, we thank you for this gift, and we ask that we might truly rediscover it in a way that enriches, enlivens us, and brings us closer to you. God, we love you and we thank you that you are our shepherd, that you guide us to green pastures, that you restore our soul, and that we don't have to fear because you are Emmanuel. You're with us. God, when the waves come, they rock our very core, who we are. When the waves come, and we're freaked out, God, you point once again to who you are as the Lord of the wind and the waves. And you can say to whatever's going on in our lives right now, be still and know God, we thank you that no matter what we're going through, we can lament. And that lament can be turned into a song of praise. Knowing and trusting that the worst things, the darkest things, aren't the last things. That you guide us through the valley of the shadow of death. God, we love you and we thank you for fulfilling the Psalms, the Scripture, the prophets. God, help us to fill up these words with new meaning today. This, the meaning that you had in mind all the time. As we seek to love you and our neighbors with our minds, our hearts, our strength, our muchness, our very being. God, we love you and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.